And there we go. Okay, we're off. Right, guys, welcome to the London Day Game Podcast, episode 6. Today we've got a very special guest.
Thank you.
Do you want to introduce yourself, Mr. Special Guest?
Mr. Special Guest. I will preamble this intro to say that we are currently sat in a very beautiful churchyard at midday on a Sunday drinking beer.
Only the finest beer as well.
A can of Stella each. Yes, Mr. Craig Cassidy, ladies and gentlemen, hello. It's good to be on the podcast and good to see you, Mr. Crown.
And yourself. We've just been enjoying a delicious, classy Wetherspoons breakfast.
Mate, Sundays are all about Wetherspoons breakfast, beers in a churchyard.
Absolutely, yeah. We're kind of scared maybe the priest will come out and chase us off.
Yeah, with £1,000 fine apparently, if we get caught. So
yeah, that's proper outlaw day game then, isn't
we
it?
We are. We're awesome. Toeing the line here.
So yeah, wanted to get Craig onto the podcast. You probably heard about him before. He's a PUA name in the community. And let's go back to where it all started.
All those many moons ago. Yeah, I guess my journey in pickup, I guess, started, I think most people started with Neil Strauss's The Game. I think I read that probably late 2009-2010, maybe even earlier actually. When did it come out? 2005-ish?
I think so, yeah. I was, get this right, so when that came out I was maybe 12 years old, 13 years old.
Fucking hell. Jesus, I remember it coming out and I read it and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is crazy. But this is back in the day before I was anywhere near day game, so I used to run around the nightclubs of Bristol and Cardiff opening over the shoulder.
Nice.
With Who Lies More and all that nonsense.
False time constraint.
To be fair, it worked quite well. I've actually got a funny story about that. Like years later, I'd be in Australia. I was living in Australia. And a mate of mine who knew about the game but was never in it, we were walking to a club once and he told me to, for a laugh, open this girl with Who Lies More. So I did my first ever gutter game approach without knowing about gutter game with Who Lies More, Men or Women, and I actually got laid from it. So cheers to mystery for that one, for that gem. But yeah, I would then go on and do a lot of that kind of nonsense for a few years, but I got to the point where I wanted to not just go to nightclubs all the time. It wasn't my scene. I'm quite introverted, so randomly stumbled across day game. daygame.com back in the day was obviously huge here in London.
Who was the, who were like the coaches at the time? Obviously Tom.
Yeah, it was Tom and John.
Tom and John.
I think I saw the Yad video. Everyone saw that Yad Kiss Closed, didn't
they? Oh yeah, it's pretty famous. Yeah.
So I saw that first, and I was like, holy shit! Like if this fucking guy can do that, then I can do that. And so yeah, that was kind of my entry into the kind of rabbit hole that is the pickup community, day game community. I dabbled with it for a little bit by myself, with varying levels of success.
Was it in
Bristol?
It was in Bristol, right?
Yeah.
What's the community like there? I hear it's pretty good.
So you know Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was my first wing.
Really?
He actually pushed me into my first ever day game approach. So if you're listening to this, Ollie, thanks again for that, because you set me off on a weird and wonderful like journey. But I remember that approach. I was shitting myself, and I, you know, like when you first started, you do these awkward approaches where you try to stop the girl. My legs were moving. She was going into a store. But I couldn't stop myself. So I opened her like right in the doorway of the store.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, and it was just fucking awkward, man. Like she smiled, but I could tell like she thought, what the hell's going on here? And I just died inside. It was like, but I was elated. I was like, shit, actually, I didn't get slapped. I didn't get punched. Like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I remember my first like direct cold approach I did. When I started doing day game, I sort of like tricking myself into approaching. But the other way around, you know, a lot of guys will say things like, okay, I'm just going to go buy jeans. And then they were like, but if I see a girl, I'll do it.
yeah.
At the time, I was studying for a professional exam. And I would say things like, I'm going to go and sit in the coffee shop to revise. But secretly, it's because I actually really wanted to approach when I was in there. So I'd like, what I'd do is I'd come into the shop, look around, see if there was a hot girl there, and then like try and set my laptop up next to her. And then spend the next 30 minutes just trying to be like, all right, what do I say? How do I open this girl? But I remember doing my first proper, like, in the street cold approach, and I sort of fumbled my way in front of her, and then it, you know, completely mind blank. I just like, and she's sort of looking at you, thinking, like, oh, this is interesting, something's going to happen. And I'm just like, no, just go. Just
go. You just froze up and just left, did you?
Couldn't do it. I think that was my first proper, like, quotes, session. I did it on my lunch break at work. So I was going around the city trying to do some sets. And, oh God, there was actually one girl I started to talk to, and she started crying.
Oh, really?
And she said, well, not because of me. I think. I think she'd got stood up for some sort of date or something. And then she started crying. So immediately I was like backing off, just like, oh God, no. Let me get out of here.
I've had that before as well. It's fucking awkward when they start crying. You're a bit like,
I hope I haven't done something wrong here.
Yeah. Looking around over your shoulder to see the fucking Rozzers coming or something. But yeah, I've had that before. It's
funny you mention Ollie, because one thing I see with his approaches, I really like about his approaches, is like the way he just goes after the set. Is like, he looks like he's like a dog chasing a ball. He loves it. Like, it's like some guys when they go off and do their approach, they're pretty slow.
Yeah.
And you feel like, you know, maybe fake it till you make it. If you can pretend to be a bit enthusiastic going after them, you're gonna turn up and then be enthusiastic.
Yeah, yeah.
So rather than like just kind of like stomping after like the Terminator, go over like you're like a like giddy little schoolboy going off to open a set.
It's weird though, because when I first met him, his whole game was it was zen. He would really? Sit in the middle of Broadway, the shopping street in Bristol, just on a bench. And I wanted to get moving. Like, I felt anxiety if I sat still. I wanted to be moving around. And then when I saw the girl, I was already kind of moving, so it was easier to approach. Whereas he would just be sat like a monk, just in the middle of the shopping street. Almost waiting, and then a set would go by, and he would just casually get up and go after it. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So it's interesting that but he's more into night game now, I think. So.
Yeah. So you were saying earlier you're like more like an introvert, which I think if any normal, like I say, normal person in the street, you know, like the fucking non-day game aware people were to see you, they'd probably just think, well, this guy's got to be the most extroverted guy of all time.
I get that on dates a lot. Girls. They always shit test me and they don't believe me when I say like I'm like introverted.
Yeah.
And I'm naturally quite a shy person. All the time I get called bullshit on that. But I think that's just a testament to the fact that I've done so much work on myself and I guess you could say I'm a learned extrovert now. I can turn it on when I need to. But yeah, for the most part I like my own company. I've got quite introverted hobbies like photography and filmmaking. They're quite insular and introverted.
Oh, same, yeah. Like for me, it's coffee.
Yeah.
It's like, if a girl tries to say to me, oh, you really don't seem introverted. I mean, I'm not quite introverted, probably just like 50-50.
Yeah.
But I say to her stuff like you said, I sort of like, when I feel it, then I do it. But I like to go really deep into hobbies and, oh, there you go. So there's like a fake NLP thing.
Yeah.
When I'm interested in something, I go really deep.
You're trying to turn me on, Thomas. Yeah, no, it's a funny one. Like, definitely they say like who you are when I met you versus when they get to know me is completely different. Like I'm way more introverted, chilled.
I think it kind of is really good for your, it's like fractionation, right?
Yeah,
on the, it's like having that. I always talk to guys about we're doing coaching, we talk about music, and I say, you know, if you just play one note, no one really, it's a note. Okay, no one cares. Well, not many people care. You play a chord, that's better. But then if you have a harmony or you have something like a major and a minor played together, that's what really catches your attention. So when you go in and on the surface, you're one thing. And I remember like Tom and Nick always used to say about like, are you a wolf in sheep's clothing or the panda in the leather jacket?
Yeah, yeah.
So you go in and then say, I mean like for you, they might see you and think, oh, this guy's going to be like a fuckboy or something. Nothing. It's just like all style, no substance.
Yeah.
But then underneath, they're like, oh fuck, there's actually like a real person there.
Well, there's a dichotomy there. Like definitely, like I look like, I don't know, a fucking degenerate failed rock star for the most part. But yeah, when I start opening up on like nerdy topics and hobbies like filmmaking and photography and travel and things that I'm really passionate in, the girls, oh shit, this guy. has a brain as well. Like, he's not just this fucking like this Chad that's walking down the street. I want to bring this up actually while we're on a podcast about style.
Oh yeah, let's do that, definitely.
I get it all the time, like should I buy leather jacket? Like, I used to get on coaching all the time, like, should I buy a leather jacket and bike it? Like, mate, no. Like, style is an individual thing, right?
Mm.
Like, I don't dress, this isn't a uniform for me, this is me.
Your personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm into metal, I love tattoos, I'm covered in tattoos.
Mm.
You know, this is just who I am. Like, and yes, my kind of game's based around that as well, like strong non-verbal style game. But yeah, if a guy's, you know, like, I coached one guy who was like in his 50s once, like a professional.
Yeah.
Can't remember what he did, but he was a high flyer in London. And he was like, should I get a leather jacket and should I get this, that and the other? Like, no, like... No.
Doesn't
it's
fit
not
you,
you
at all.
Yeah, you'd be weird. The girl would sound you out straight away. Like, it's not you. So I think, as a kind of side note on style, develop an archetype based around your personality.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't copy someone because they're like a PUA because they're dressed a certain way. Mm. That's not what gets them laid.
Yeah,
it's their kind of their congruence in their archetype is what works. Mm. It's not the physical jacket and boots or whatever.
Well, it kind of works as well. I mean, not only is there guys will say, do I need to get a leather jacket, almost like it's like this magic power thing. But you know, there's also different, even just going with a leather jacket, there's different ways you can do it. You can be rock and roll kind of style, you could be biker style. Like, I try and go with, I have the leather jacket thing, but I do more like a Viking style, because like you're saying, it fits me. They see me and they think, well, tall, ginger hair, long hair. I mean, obviously I start speaking and they're like, well, this guy's not Scandinavian, but they think I could be like that kind of Viking kind of guy. So then I also, you know, like, I ham it up, so I have bracelets with Viking designs on it, you know, I have these sort of things that are going on. And it all adds up. And I think the best experience I had was in Kiev last year, where I opened a two set because one of them I eyed me and I noticed she'd said something to her friend just as I'd walked by. And later on in the date, I said to her, oh, what did you say to your friend? And she literally just said Viking to her. So I was like, oh, perfect. Okay, I know I'm doing that. But then for me, similar to yourself, actually, it's like on the surface, you think he's going to be gruff, one-dimensional. And then I turn up and then I'm actually kind of like smile quite a lot and like quite warm and everything. And she thinks like, oh, there you go. There's like a little extra thing to it.
You got that, what's that, Tommy's saying, it's the badass Buddha, it's the kind of that iron wrapped in velvet, you've got to have a
iron
bit,
wrapped in,
I don't know,
velvet.
I just made that up.
Iron wrapped in velvet?
Iron wrapped in velvet,
That's the one.
There's a phrase.
Steel in velvet? It's one of them. Basically, you know what I mean? One's hard,
hard
one's
interior
soft.
With a nice soft, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to have a bit of both about you. Predictability is one of the biggest killers of attraction, so I think you've got to have a bit of unpredictability about you. And there's multiple different ways that you can do that. But yeah, just being unpredictable is very attractive in itself. So
So let's get back onto your day game history. It took a little
detour there.
Well, that's good. Detours are good. So this was back in 2011, 2012.
I jumped into Day Game probably when daygame.com was out, but it wouldn't be till I think 2012 is when I shut up.
Dogs are kicking off here.
It's all kicking off in this churchyard today.
The wrong kind of bitches.
I jumped into I had some coaching with Tom 2012. That was when I kind of made the decision to take this kind of seriously and invest in it a little bit. And then from there I kind of just kept it up, became pretty competent in Bristol, which isn't the easiest thing to do because it's a small city. I mean, you know, Leyland knows about that.
How many sets do you think you got?
I didn't do masses. Do you know what I mean? Like, in London it's quite easy to rack up a massive amount of approaches over a year. Bristol you can't really do it. So I actually learnt on a much smaller scale. But like anything I kind of put my mind to, I can pick it up quite quickly. And I was never shit with women in the first place, so it made my learning curve a lot, you know, a lot less steep.
It's kind of like, I was saying to this guy yesterday, it's like, you're like a business and the product is good, but your sales and marketing division is shit.
Yeah.
But now yeah, you like, know, like, okay, analogy, now it's yeah. much better. Now you know, like, the industry, what do they call them? Gold standards?
Yeah.
Best practice? That's yeah. it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I like that analogy. Yeah. So, yeah, your product's already pretty good. But your way to market it and deliver it was not good. But yeah, that's what day game was for me. Like I got laid a lot from like going out bars and stuff. But also it was a quality thing. Like it was never like last night. It was a grotty lay. It was a lay for the sake of getting laid, right? Which I think every guy should go through because
absolutely
makes you a dirty fucker, and that's always good when you get on a date with a hottie because you're a dirty fucker and she knows it.
Yeah, and you know what? You can't eat steak every day. Exactly. Sometimes you want to have a burger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's like you see all the professional, like fucking Wayne Rooney, like slamming a old hooker. Like, do you know what I mean? Like every now and again, if you're a man with a bit of testosterone, you want a bit of rough. And so day game for me was. About getting quality as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I took to it quite well and ended up moving out to Australia in 2014, and that's when I really started racking up the approaches.
Yeah.
Sydney being a much bigger city than Bristol.
What's the population there?
I think
in the millions, right?
4 million.
Oh, okay, yeah, perfect.
It's a weird city. It's a big city, but it doesn't feel big.
Okay, that's what she said.
And, I managed to rack up a lot of approaches in Sydney, and I got to the point where I was actually coaching in Sydney, like unofficially, just doing like approach coaching.
Oh, okay.
And then from there, I guess I got better and better, and that's kind of when I ran into Tom again. Was at the tail end of 2016, I think, when he was doing his Below the Belt World Tour.
Yeah.
No, it might have been 2015 actually. Anyway, yeah. So we got talking and. Basically invited me to film Beginner's Guide to Day Game, and I'm sure most people listening to this would have seen that because that was pretty seminal kind of YouTube video.
Yeah, that's literally that's the one that got me into Day Game.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
that was a big moment for me. Like, it was odd being invited to do that, considering like I'd been following Tom for many years.
I want to say a quick thing on that actually.
Yeah,
is let's say some guys will say, like, how do I learn to get good at day game or get good at game? And to be honest, probably the best way to do it is to try and hang out with guys who have done it themselves a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
And
just.
So it's almost like I say to people, like, the best compliment I can give a beginner when I meet him is if I'm talking about him to someone else, I'll say, he's not weird.
Yeah.
He's just, like, not a weird guy. He's someone you could chat about, like, you know, normal jobs and sports and stuff with him. So probably, like, maybe one of the top advice I'd give to beginners is just like be normal around the more experienced guys and like work hard, I guess, to be their friends and everything. And you know, if you happen to get along, eventually they'll end up sort of teaching you a lot that you wouldn't have got just from being out on your own.
Absolutely. I wrote a post, I think it was back in the day on one of my blogs, and I reposted it on my, now I've restarted my blog, but it was about the importance of being normal. like I cannot state that enough. If you're a fucking weirdo, you could learn every technique in the handbook and you're still not going to get anywhere. Like, being weird is massive pussy repellent. You've got to be able to, you know, you're going to be on a date, you've got to be able to have a normal conversation. Like, game's like the spice on top of, you know, whatever. Like,
sort of, it's like the salt and pepper and the
garlic
and stuff.
It's the secret spice on an already good recipe. Like, if you're a fucking weirdo, you might be able to get a girl's number, you might be able to get her on a date, but she's gonna figure that out pretty quickly. And most people are gonna figure that out pretty quickly. So I think, like you say, a big part of it's being normal. But obviously then getting access to people that are better than you in any skill is an ideal thing, because you'll learn much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how my game got to where it got to, was I was spending a lot of time on the road with Tom.
Yeah.
And just learning by osmosis, watching what he was doing.
Definitely.
Certain things I picked up on and developed my own style. Like, my style and Tom's style was completely different. But that's not to say I didn't learn a lot from just hanging around him. So yeah, definitely, if you can, and coaching cuts your learning curve as well, because I mean, you could go and try, like Tom did in the beginning, out every day for a year, trying to figure it out by himself.
Yep.
Whereas you don't need to do that these days because it's all figured out. There is a structure, there is a system, you can learn this stuff.
Yep. So then with like Tom, you sort of like crystallized your own style. Or at least like you felt like you knew exactly what you wanted to do.
Yeah. So I'd always I always liked a beer, right? a vibe juice, as Tom would say. And my day game got to a point where it was very, very strong on the non-verbal side of it. You know, being naturally introverted, a lot of the times I find it hard work to maintain a, it drains me.
Okay.
So if I'm doing a whole day game session, having lots of conversations, but at the end of it, I'm knackered.
I hope this podcast won't be too draining for you. Talking to me for an hour.
I'm falling asleep right now. So I developed a style that was based on solid, very strong sexual non-verbal kind of body language, and I found when I adopted that style, my results just went up and through the roof. And it's no surprise because it's essentially hardcore filtering. You're putting it on the girl straight away.
Yeah,
she has to know what you want, and but with strong non-verbals, she gets that point much quicker. And so I'd get faster blowouts, which I didn't mind because I'm not in a conversation to nowhere.
Yep.
But also my approach to lay ratio, like shot down. I think it was like ridiculous. It was like on the world tour, it was like 1 in 2. It was insane. Yeah, I got that's not, you know, over the course of a year that would be unsustainable. But I spent that 30 days. It was 1 in 2. It was ridiculous.
Oh man. Are you sort of just sniping out the right approaches?
Yeah, and I think you can't do that as a beginner. That takes a while to learn. I can sniff out a set that I think is going to go. I mean, Nick talks about it as well. Like, you get that, you just know.
The spidey sense.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it, DNA tug, DNA or spidey, whatever.
It's weird though, it's amazing, isn't it? Because you just look at the girl, you look at her face and you just think, either it's on or this is going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much of that is like self-belief. If you tell yourself it's a blowout, it will be.
Yeah.
But definitely, yeah, you can
see
it in
your face. There's
something
there. There's definitely something there.
There's something going on, like, in your brain, working things out for you.
Yeah, and I got to a point where that was kind of... I was very, very good at that. But also, going back to, like, my style was... Tom always said to me, like, you're a dirty fucker. Like, you should be doing what they call gutter game. And I was like, do you know what? Yeah, I'm going to try that. And that, for me, became the most efficient way to get laid. Like, going out... later on at night, maybe after a beer or so, and just stalking the streets outside bars and clubs. I know it sounds fucking weird, but honestly, it was the most efficient way to get laid.
Yeah. What would you count then as like gutter game? You know, is it gutter game when you're doing it just when it gets dark, like sort of 8, 9 p.m., or is it more like you have to wait till midnight? What would you count?
No, I'd say it's certainly when the sun goes down, you'll feel a vibe shift. Mm. I used to feel it on the street. There's a vibe wherever you were, the vibe would shift. Would shift from, like right now, we're sat in this very quaint little churchyard, and there's just like there's a vibe of just like stillness. There's you know, relaxed vibe. People are going about their day. But gutter games, when that sun goes down. So time varies depending on where you are as well, and which part of the city you're doing it in. But there's a certain vibe shift. Different people come out on the streets. There's more of an energy.
Yeah.
There's more of a. It's hard to articulate it.
It's just a feeling.
You get a feeling. People are far more amenable to like an adventure.
Yeah.
At a certain time of day. Do you know what I mean?
I think there's probably as well like I remember in. Probably in Infinite Krause's book, it says about girls who are sort of separating themselves from the herd. Because you know how girls will just, they'll subconsciously just do things. You know, if they're feeling horny, they'll dress sexy.
Yeah.
Because they just want to, they look in the mirror and they think, yeah, that looks good today. They might just be like, they might just stay out an extra hour and be like, oh, why don't I just wander to the end of Oxford Street and back? And like, they don't know it, but in the back of their brain, it's kind of like something's giving them that... putting themselves in the line of fire.
Yeah, putting themselves in a position where something could happen, absolutely.
So then you get those girls who are kind of wandering around at that time. I mean, so normally for me, I normally think I'll go for an eye date, try and get same day. If the girl says something like, I'm bored, or I'm just walking. Yeah. That's the biggest one. Yeah, I'm just walking around. And you're like, oh, are you now? Or anything basically that shows that she's like nothing to do.
Yeah.
And is up for an adventure. And then, like you said, when it's the nighttime, everything's sort of in your favor. Because then you can just say, hey, look, I normally say to them, they're like, I'm just walking around and say to them, like, I've got a much better idea. Why don't we just go have a drink over there?
Mm.
And they think, yeah, why not? You know? And then it's just like, fantastic, straight onto the date. And, you know, you've got a decent chance of something happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You don't know if you're going to pull her home, but you think, if she's willing to meet a stranger on the street and go for a drink straight away, something's up there.
She's quite open to things happening. Yeah, for sure.
I was gonna ask you, like, what would you do differently in Gutter Game compared to doing it during the day? I know earlier we were talking about stepping in, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so closing the distance straight away. Like, in normal day game, I generally open kind of like an arm's length distance, maybe.
Yeah.
And then slowly close the distance over the course of the set. But Gutter Game, I'm jumping right in front and we're generally inches from each other's face.
Like, yeah.
And I'm really looking for that reaction. I'm looking for that deer in headlights, that kind of like, holy shit, this is exciting reaction.
Absolutely.
Do
you find that, I find like if it's on, I get one or two reactions. Either she is just like laser locked eye contact,
yeah,
or she'll do this thing where she kind of fools around.
Yeah.
As in like literally like moves around. She can't really find a place to stand comfortably.
Just all that energy.
Absolutely. So that's really good to think like, if you're doing a set and the girl is actually kind of like feels like she's wobbling around a little bit, it's important to just stay still.
Mm-hmm.
Don't move with her. Don't think that she's actually trying to get around you. And it's a really good IOA. And it's pretty on because, yeah, like you said, she's got that sexual energy and she just doesn't really know where to do it. It's a bit like when, you know, like when if you've ever had like a pet dog and you come home and the dog is so excited to see you,
yeah,
it just goes like it barks and then it runs around in a circle. It just can't contain all the energy it has inside itself.
Yeah. That definitely happens. I think a lot of guys, they blow themselves out early. They try to leave. Like, if a girl wants to leave, she'll leave.
Yeah,
let her
yeah.
leave.
Yeah,
let
yeah.
her walk. Like, just keep going. A lot of guys will just shit their pants when they get a reaction like that because they're like, oh, she looks like she needs to leave. Like, if she wants to leave, she's gonna fucking leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah. That's why I always prefer, to be honest, doing a street stop than a standing or seating or stationary one. Because I always liked it. I was like, it's much better. If she just wants to go, she can do it. I don't like this feeling of like thinking to myself, is she trying to sort of hint to me to go?
Yeah, I think there's a big thing in the community where it's like, oh, well, if you're only doing street stops, you're not doing day game. But coffee shops, indoor, that kind of stuff is great. But play the percentages. Like it's much easier, it's much safer as well. Like on the street, she can leave. Like a lot of pickup gets a bad name by new guys trying this kind of stuff in high pressure environments and just freaking girls out. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the amount of guys that don't know what an IOD is.
Yeah.
It's staggering. And no wonder there's a subsect of people or girls that feel weirded out. It's like, if a guy's just, they can't get the hint. Like girls are quite friendly. They rarely ever go like, look, mate, just fuck off. Like a guy would do.
I guess it's coming from, maybe it's like the double-edged sword of beginner's day game advice, because you do want to tell guys, oh, like, persist, keep going, don't listen to what she says, listen to what she does, those sorts of things. But yeah, it's like we said earlier, it's really important to try and be normal at least, and
absolutely,
to think and to take her in good faith.
Yeah,
you know, like a lot of that beginner's advice, you sometimes think the girl's acting in bad faith, that she's lying about something, and that you should just push through regardless. But to be honest, like most of the time, for example, when she has a boyfriend, it's because she has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or if she has to go, it's because she actually does, she is in a rush somewhere.
I think empathy is one thing that never gets spoke about. And I think
this church is rubbing off on you.
I know. I'm actually renouncing. No, I think having some kind of empathy to, like, this is a human being that we're dealing with, right? And I think if you can... they're not we talk about it as like sets and stuff like that. It puts a,
it's like impersonal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, it becomes this impersonal thing where it should be the most personal experience that you can ever have. So I think definitely bringing a kind of a personal experience to it, if that makes any fucking sense. I don't know at this point in time. But
I guess it can be kind of amazing for her. If that's, let's say she's your quintessential good girl, K-select girl, and this is one of only a few times different guys that she'll have sex with in her life. Like, Matt, she might be 80 years old and thinking about you, but you might be like, oh, I've done that dozens of times, some guys even hundreds of times.
And I think that's when you've done this long enough, like, it's, that's the one of the biggest challenges, is not treating the next girl as just another set.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start doing that, your results go down. For her, it's not just this. It should be this magical experience, or this crazy experience. But for you, it's your fucking...
you were set number 7 on Wednesday.
Yeah. You're on set number 50 or something. Like, yeah, it's a funny one, man. Uh-huh. That's why I took 2 years out. Like, I got to that point where I'd done it enough. I'd got laid enough. I think Jimmy spoke about it. Like, when you break that 100-notch count, it's a weird one. Like, I used to just could not wait for the girl to get out. Like, I'd blow my load and I'd be like, right, I just need her out. Like, and I was like, this isn't healthy. Like, like, I need to stop for a little bit, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, like, when you're more excited to send the plus one messages and the plus one tweets than you are to experience the moment.
Yeah, like, or, yeah, spend time with, like, some person that. It was weird, man. I got to a weird place, and not many guys will get there, and it's an odd one. Like, and I think that's why the community is so important, because you get to speak to other guys that have experienced this kind of thing. Because it is a weird thing to experience. Well, you say to the average guy, like, you know, the average guy that might sleep with like 7 women in his life.
Yeah.
You know, when he gets laid with a new girl, you know, that the exhilaration.
It's
imagine massive, explaining isn't it? To it, that same guy that you've just banged this fucking hottie within 2 hours of meeting her, and you're sick to, and you want her out, and you feel nothing, you feel empty. And it's like, that's weird, like, it's unhealthy. Uh-huh. And I needed a break, and so I took 2 years off.
Yeah. Oh, we've had a little dog friend come over to say hello.
Cool.
Hello. Wants to be on the podcast, clearly.
Hello. Who's pissing?
There we go. So his name is Terry. That's it. That's what his collar says.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another special guest for the podcast.
There we go. We're full of them. Just so, retreating you guys today.
Yeah. So like, last thing on that topic would be, you feel like you had this kind of mind shift.
Yeah.
Change. At some, there was like a, at least for me, I think, like, in the past year, this sounds silly, but I literally, like, one day I was just like, oh, I'm actually, like, considered to be quite... I feel like I'm a cool guy now. Like, I don't feel like I need to really actively work to impress girls. They'll just like me for me.
Mm.
So did you have any kind of mind shift, mindset shift at some point? Some sort of, like, moment, eureka moment?
I don't know. I think it's a hard one. It's like progress at the gym. You don't really... There's never one day... Maybe if you didn't look in a mirror for a year and you trained consistently, then all of a sudden... You looked, you were like, oh shit, I've got quite far.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there was an aha moment or a eureka moment. I just think it was a culmination of...
Just happening across the years.
Yeah, just continually work. It's not, there's no end game with it. You're like continuously work in progress, isn't it?
So this, I guess, want to bring this back to gutter game a little bit, because I think that, like, someone like you, and you're stepping in front of that girl at whatever time of the night, and she's like, oh yeah, okay, this is the guy who can get me where I want to go.
Yeah.
Most guys, you know, if they're in their first year or something, 2 years, I don't know how long it would be, they're probably not just going to give off that vibe.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like, what can a guy do? What would you say a guy can do if he is just doing your regular run-of-the-mill street approach and he wants to, like, spice it up a little bit? He wants to learn to get good at gutter game. What could he do?
You've got to rack up experiences, and I think this is where... you've got to have a bad, like, obviously we get into this because we want to bang girls and we want better quality, this, that, and the other. But I've never been one that's like would turn down a 6. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to you've got to have these filthy experiences.
Okay.
As many as you can, especially if you're in the beginning.
Yeah.
Maybe once you've been in it a while, yeah, okay, that gets a bit old, and yeah, you go for quality. And that's essentially what I want to do, is get out with quality. But
yeah,
like last night, every now and again, you've got to have that burger, man. Keep having those burgers, because all of those filthy nights with girls that, yeah, you wouldn't bat an eyelid at the next day, that teaches you, it teaches you how to be more sexual. It teaches you that kind of presence, that when you're stood in front of that hot, you can't treat them any differently.
Yep.
You don't treat a 10 like a, like you treat a 10 differently to a 6, then you're gonna fail.
She's on a pedestal. Yeah. And then what would you say is maybe like one of the sort of filthiest stories that comes to mind in terms of like a gutter game thing? Oh, maybe like the fastest pull, or the
Tom threesome was still one of the absolute filth, because it was the afterwards, which was for me back then, I'd not really seen that too much. Like the reaction afterwards was fucking mad, but that was Phil. I mean, we were in the ass. I mean, some of you or most of you might have heard the story, but I'll do the ad-bridged version. We were in this ass end of nowhere in Canada.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday night, there was nothing to do, and this barman told us that the only place that was really open was this strip club. It was like amateur stripper night.
Yeah.
So we jump in a taxi and head out there, and we get there and it is packed.
Nice.
I'm stood at the bar getting the drinks in, and I think Tom's gone for a poo or something, I don't know. And this girl is with this guy, and she stands right next to me.
Okay.
Like, there's fucking space.
So that's like we were saying, you know, subconsciously, proximity, she just does it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right next to me. And I look over my shoulder, and we catch eyes, and I'm like, fucking hell, this is, you know, you recognise it. Oh, this is fucking on, but who's this guy? Like, I don't know who this guy is. Tom comes back, and he starts chatting to the guy.
All right.
The girl just stays with me, and I just open over the shoulder, like, we were hamming up the British accents, fucking loved it. I just end up chatting, and the guy just disappears. I think he went outside with Tom for a smoke or something. Tom comes back without him, and still chatting to the girl, and I'm thinking, this is fucking on. Like, I'm trying to think of logistics at this point.
Yeah.
Tom comes back, and he's like, over her shoulder, he's like puts his three fingers up, threesome, and I'm like, do you know what? Yeah, fuck it, we've got the van, let's try and fuck her in the van. And so we bounce her to a table, hadn't even drank about three mouthfuls of my pint, and she's got a hand on my leg, hand on his leg.
Oof.
And I'm like, she's in the middle, and I'm looking over the shoulder, I was like, we've got to go. Like,
yep.
Let's get out of here right now. Fuck the pint, let's leave before this guy comes back. And we got a taxi back to where we were staying, and we had this horrendously filthy threesome, and it was weird, actually. Like, you know, bagging a bird, this is Tom Terrell, like, so some guy that like weird, like, you know, you watched on YouTube and you're like, this is fucking a girl's mouth and he's fucking her, and I'm like, oh, this is weird.
Do you know the thing? Yeah, you're right. It's,
but
you look at girls differently after that.
But this is the best bit. Like, we'd finished, like, I spunked all over her face, and like, she's covered in our cum, and like, she's her phone goes off, and it's the guy. And I shit you not, and I fucking hand on heart, this is what happened. She puts him on fucking speakerphone. She's naked.
Well, she can't put the phone on her face, obviously. No, well, she should come over the phone.
She's fucking, I'm sat on a bed, Tom's sat on the other bed, and she's pulling on her clothes while she's talking to this guy, and he's like, oh, hey babe, like,
oh God.
Hey babe,
simp.
Yeah. He goes, where have you gone? She's like, oh, I'm back home. I'm in bed. I'm tired, and I'm there. Just, I've got my head in my hands. I'm like, is this fucking happening? Like, does this happen? Like, how many times has this happened to me? And back in the day, and yeah, she's basically just. He's like, oh well, I'm getting on stage in a minute. Like,
cause it's oh,
like,
he's getting on stage.
Yeah, like, everyone just pole dances and strips in this place apparently on a Wednesday night.
Okay.
But he's like, oh, are you going to be coming back? She's like, no, I'm tired. And I'm just thinking, fuck me, man. Like, if you knew what she's just done. Well, poor bastard.
Yeah. Was that her official, like, boyfriend? Or was it, like, friend, what girls gay like. Friend she's or
like,
something?
Oh, it's just
a guy.
Yeah, it's just a guy.
Just a guy. Maybe he thought
she was
his
boyfriend. He probably thought, fuck me, this is my... But she's like, oh, it's just a guy.
Oh, man. So my friend said to me once, like, something that I'll always remember is, like, one day that girl might get married, right? And the guy's going to be like, she's my princess.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I know. Try not to think about that shit, but...
Oh, fuck.
That was, utter filth that night.
There you go. So there you go. If you want to get good at gutter game, buy a van, take a girl back to the van and bang on with your friend. That's
so
the secret.
Truth be told, we did the threesome in the hotel, but...
Okay.
But...
After
the video, we got her back the next night.
Yeah.
So I could fuck her in the van and Tom could film. So the actual footage of the van rocking, I am smashing her in the van at that point, but fantastic. We'd already banged it. Like, we got her back for a second night.
Yeah. Is that still on? That's still online somewhere.
It must be somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. So if you want to see... Well, if you want to, like, experience Craig banging a girl, then go find that van video.
Oh, and there's some audio as well where she's like, I love that's... London.
I was listening to this recently. It's like, Jimmy... Yeah. The name of the van or something?
It's the Jimi Hendrix van.
The Jimi Hendrix van. Jeez. All right.
Mate.
So.
But yeah, I'd say, like, definitely just do some filthy stuff because it will help you in, even if you don't do the gutter game, it will help you in day game. Being a sexual threat, you have to be.
Yeah.
If you want to get laid, if you want to get girls. So the best way to do that is build up a reference experience of sexual experience.
Yeah, going fast.
For sure.
Yeah. I had this in, first time I met Tom was his Day Game 3.0 seminar, which was February 2017. And the whole seminar was pretty much all about escalation and trying to go a bit faster. And I really took it to heart. And probably for the next 6 months, I was always doing just one drink, one venue, walk back to mine, because they had quite good logistics. And I mean, obviously, yes, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But it was such a good learning experience. Because then I was like, right, I really know how to escalate now.
Yeah.
And I can spot the signals and these sort of things. And I also know how to, like, take it from, say, something, you know, low, let's say, like, 3, 4, 5 out of 10 to 10 out of 10 really quickly, raise the buy-in temperature, and then bring her back.
Mm.
So, yeah, if you're going out, you're doing gutter game, just think, right, okay, now's the time to pull for eye dates, and let's start escalating quickly, and then just see how fast you can go.
One of the biggest problems... beyond approach anxiety is escalation, right? Like guys go on dates for hours and hours and hours. So
yeah.
Going too far, at least you learn how to go that far.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it becomes a case of calibration. Like you start learning, right? Well, this girl's definitely not coming back in an hour.
No.
And you know how to play it. Like it's all reference experiences.
Yeah. It opens your eyes. It's like it's possible, because. I guess a lot of guys will start off day game and think like, oh, there's no way you can meet a girl in the street and then bang her.
Yeah.
But then also, then they get okay at it. Maybe they get two second date, third date lays, but they think, oh, there's no way you can do one venue and just one drink and pull it back. But yeah.
First SDL is an experience, right? Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just fucking wild. You're like led there, like what just
what
happened?
The fuck? I was like on.
But she's there level. Thinking that as well, like.
Absolutely,
I mean?
Yeah. It's such a good adventure for both of you. It makes you feel so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're sort of coming up on time now.
Mm.
So, at the end of each episode, I like to ask the guest what their special is. So, like, what is the Craig Cassidy special?
Getting pissed. Getting laid. No, I
getting
don't know.
Pissed and laid.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm fucking known for. Probably, yeah, it's probably the gutter game, man. Like, if you ever see me out doing gutter game, it's quite a sight to behold.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, if you ever see me on the streets at fucking 9 p.m, have a watch. You'll...
You'll learn something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, so what you should do then is go get your gutter game stories and then tweet at Craig. What's your...
Cassidy PUA.
Cassidy, so tweet at Cassidy PUA and send him your stories.
Yeah, I want to hear some good gutter game stories.
Yeah,
and,
the filthier the better.
Hopefully I'll be posting some from Belgrade next week. So, actually by the time this goes out, I would have been there.
Yeah. But still send them anyway.
Yes.
We always want to hear the filthy
definitely,
stories.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. Okay, that is London Day Game Podcast, episode 6. Over and out.
Nice.
Yeah.